God, I just give you this time right now. And I thank you. Thank you that you did tear down the veil and we can come face to face. We can see you. We can touch you. That you speak to us. That you love us. That you change us little by little into your image. The closer we get to you, the clearer our reflection is of you. I said you would just anoint the words, and that you would just let get said what you want said, and anything that is not from you, that I would just forget to say it. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about carrying and birthing the message of God. As you guys, most of you know, like recently, this is going to be a really hard message for me because recently I had a miscarriage. And I was asking God, I was saying, why would you let me get pregnant again just to miscarry? Because I wanted that baby, you know? I mean, not like I'm short on babies, but but I want every one of them. And, you know, as soon as I find out I'm pregnant, I'm so excited. My mind jumps forward. I'm like, sweet, is it a boy, is it a girl? What are we going to do? I'm just, because that's part of me. It's who I am. I want those babies. And so we didn't know for very long. And then I miscarried and I was so devastated. And I thought, you know, you didn't have to let me get pregnant just to miscarry again, because if you don't want me to have more babies, then just tell me you don't want me to have more. But to get pregnant just to lose them is really hard. And I don't want to keep doing that. But Mom talks a lot of the time about, you know, how God has a purpose, you know, in the miscarriages and even for babies that are aborted, how God has this end time, she believes this end time call in their life, that they are to be raised by God, with God in heaven, for probably to reign with him in that 1,000 years, that they have this special call to live during that time. That's their end time call. Beyond our end time is their end time.
Right.
And, you know, God was reminding me of that. But last week I felt like he said that the miscarriage was prophetic. And I was like, okay. And he's, you know, and he was saying, and that is why I allowed it, even though I knew. We believe it was a boy, and we named him Bentley. So he's up there with our others. And he said, even though I knew that Bentley wasn't going to be birthed here, like, I knew you wouldn't hate me and you wouldn't be mad at me for it, that I was taking him. But that was his purpose. His purpose is to be raised in heaven and to live in that end time for whatever his calling is. And I can't raise him for that because I'm not God. And he has to be raised by God for whatever his call is. So, but there was prophetic message in that. He said it compares to messages that I give people that they lose. That my messages get miscarried, and they get aborted, and they get stillborn, and it grieves me when my messages are lost, just like it grieves you because it's my baby, that I have something I'm wanting to birth. And I looked up the percentage of miscarriages in pregnancies, and in known pregnancies, it's 20%. Of known pregnancies are miscarried. That's 1 in 5. But they think that up to half of all pregnancies are actually miscarried, most of them before the mom even realizes that she's pregnant. And abortions is also about 1 in 5. Nearly 20% of pregnancies end in abortion for a number of reasons. Stillbirths are just 1%. And then the premature births was less than 10%. But it grieves the father at each one of those losses. With premature births, when it comes early, there's a struggle and a fight because they came before they were supposed to. It was delivered before it was time. And so there's this struggle, this fight just to live and to thrive. So there's comparison and all that. So taking that now to his message, how we carry that. The first thing, you know, talking about miscarrying before you even realize that you're pregnant is that kind of like hit me. That kind of grieved me that we aren't even aware so much of the time when God is trying to implant in us a message. He's trying to give us something, and we are so unaware. We don't even recognize it. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Read verse 4. This is when Samuel was little and he was in the temple and he was in bed and it says, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli the priest and said, here am I, for you called me. He didn't recognize the voice of God. He didn't even know who was calling him. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be that if he call you, that you should say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. The very first thing for us in order to even be able to carry his word is for us to be willing to allow him to call us. And we have to recognize his voice. But we have to be willing not just to receive his message, but to do whatever it takes to carry that all the way to birth, all the way to fruition. There are a number of reasons for miscarriage, and there are a number of reasons that nobody even knows. There's a ton of reasons they don't know. But one of the reasons for miscarriage that they do know, they said it was incompatible, that when the body received that sperm, when it fertilized the egg, the body actually rejected as if it was foreign. It didn't recognize it and rejects that as like disease and won't keep it. I think sometimes because we don't recognize what God is saying to us, we don't recognize, we doubt. Or we think it's just coming from something we heard, and we go, that's not God. And we just push it away. We have to stop and say, God, is that you? Because right. If it's him, we don't want to just dismiss it.
Right.
You know, the body has to have the right amount of vitamins, has to have the right hormones. I tend to be low in progesterone, which is a hormone that prepares the womb to receive and nourish the fertilized egg. We have to be prepared. We have to be preparing ourselves, our spirits, to carry his word. We have to be in the word. We have to be seeking his presence. We need to be giving him time so that when his word comes, we just receive it and we're ready to nourish that word and pray into it and give it the time that it needs to develop into what he's trying to say to the people he wants to say it to. It doesn't do any good to go and give his message of salvation to a group full of saved people. That would be the wrong group. We have to know who is our group that we're supposed to be giving this message to and when. We've got to hold on. So very rarely, I think, does God give words like that are instantly going to be given. There are instant prophecies, but there are words that he is wanting to nourish, to build, to make us own. You know, as the baby grows inside of you and you're attached and you're loving that baby and I can't wait for you to be born and I can't wait to hold you and you're in that. Well, that's the same with his message and his word. We need to own that.
Right.
And love what he's wanting to say. Even if it's a hard message, it's coming from a place of love because it's God. And God doesn't deliver messages out of revenge or anger. It's always from a place of love and rescuing. So that's what God is about. In John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice and they hear me." We need to know his voice, and we need to hear him. Another thing with Samuel was he was set apart where he could hear, but he didn't recognize God. So he went to the authority that God had put in his life. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? He didn't know. We need to be willing to submit ourselves to the authority where God has placed us so that they can speak into our lives. If we get a word, we think God's telling us something, and we are going, "I'm not sure it's really God. Like, I don't know if this is..." Well, you know what? We have spiritual parents. We have authorities, pastors that God has set over us. Go to them. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. There's a reason that he puts authority. There's a reason there's a pastor and an apostle. There's a reason that prophets are subject to each other. Because we need to go and say, "Do you think that this is God? Does it bear witness?" So that we know and hold on to it. As far as taking in our necessary nutrition, we have to take in vitamins and fruits and veggies. We don't want to be living on, you know, pop and potato chips the whole time. That's not going to nourish that baby. So we need the Word of God, and we need to be in church because we need to be surrounded by like-minded people, and we need to be in prayer so that we can. In Revelation 11, where John was given his little book, he was told to eat it. It was going to sustain him to eat that book. And Jesus is our living water. I'm just going to give you the reference. It's Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, and John chapter 4, where Jesus said that he had living water. Where he was talking to the woman at the well. He is that water that we need. It's just chapter 4. I didn't put the word, the verse, sorry. Yeah, I want you to do your homework. Actually, we are going to turn to John chapter 4. Okay, and that was verse 10. Another thing that we need to nourish and carry this word is patience. We've got to be patient. We can't be in such a hurry. It's really easy to do that, to get in such a hurry because we get excited at first. You know, in Revelation 11 where it said that word, that book was going to taste sweet in his mouth, but then bitter in his belly. Well, I think a lot of times we get the word in our mouth and we're like, "I'm ready to go because it's sweet." And we don't give it time to get down into our spirit to really understand what he is wanting to say. We might not even know who we're supposed to say it to. But in John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well, and he's telling her, you know, "If you knew who you were asking, who I was asking you for water, you would be asking me, because I have living water and you would never thirst again." It was timely. In that moment, she could hear that. And that moment was when he was intended to speak it. If he had been there a week before and said it to her, she wasn't prepared. It wasn't time. And, you know, he knew the rest of the message for her because she was confused. And it was, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "Right, because you've had five. And the one you're with now, you're not even married to." The Father put that in Jesus for that moment, because that would show her that he was God, that he was from God. In Proverbs 25:11, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." At the right time, a word spoken in due season. That's Proverbs 15:23. When we speak that word, when it is time and it is birthed and to the right crowd and at the right moment, there is life and there is freedom in that. Because that is what it was meant to do and who it was meant for. And unfortunately, a lot of times, we have stillborn messages of God. Because we speak them in the wrong spirit of judgment, hatred, revenge, legalistic religious spirit, where we're wanting to just set somebody straight or tell them what we know. Well, this is, it's what the Bible says, and so this is what you need to hear. But you know, that's not the rhema word of God, where he said, this is for this person right now. You know, Jesus could have quoted the Ten Commandments to that woman at the well. Well, shalt not commit adultery. And that wouldn't have done her a bit of good, because she knew the law. And that didn't do her any good. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6, the second part of the, but it's, who also, 2 Corinthians 3, 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jonah's a really good example of speaking a word out in the wrong spirit. God went ahead and used it in spite of Jonah. He went ahead and saved the city of Nineveh because they did turn and repent. But Jonah was mad. In Jonah 3, 4, he goes and he tells them that they have to repent or God's going to destroy their city. And then they repent and God doesn't destroy their city. So in chapter 4, Jonah's sitting up on the hill ticked off because God didn't destroy the city because he hated them. Well, he didn't deliver the message of God the way it was intended to be delivered. And that city could have lost out because of the spirit that it was delivered in. We can't deliver a message of God in the spirit of the devil. I can't come to you trying to tell you what God has to say, but I'm telling it to you when I'm full of anger and hate. I can't stand you, and I'm going to tell you what God has to say. They don't hear God. We are killing that message. Above everything, we are supposed to be delivering in love. That is the right method of birthing, is in love. Love towards God. Several times in the Bible, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That, everything in us toward God to be full of love. The references for that would be Mark 12, 30, Deuteronomy 6, 5, Matthew 22, 37, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Because once we have all that love toward God, we have to also turn it towards the people. Because once we have that heart of love towards God and we're in that love relationship, we will love the people.
Right.
Because God loves the people.
Right.
That is the whole purpose of why Jesus came, because God so loved the world. So in Luke 10:27, Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. You've got to love them. We've got to carry that and deliver in love. And the purpose is that we want to rescue them. We're supposed to be rescuing the perishing. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Luke, I believe, right? 19:10. That was why he came. You know, that's why he sat and ate with sinners. That's why he went and he talked to non-Jews. Because he loved everybody, and that's why he was there. He wasn't there to join a clique. He didn't come down so that he could just be part of the Pharisees and look good. That was not his purpose.
Right.
His purpose was to come and seek out those who were lost. The people, like that song we sang last week about to the leper and the outcast and the ones that were unlovable, that's who he came to.
Right, man.
The ones who thought they were doing okay didn't even want him. They wouldn't even listen. But the people who were rejected and despised and sick, they knew they needed something. And when they met Jesus, they knew that was what they'd been needing. We're supposed to carry him and his message inside of us so that when we meet somebody who is lost and sick and dying and in need, that they know we're carrying what it is they've been needing. Because they need. There's this song says all the, what the world needs now is love. That's true, but the world doesn't know what love is.
Right.
So they look for everything except what real love is.
Right.
But when we carry in the right spirit, when we carry that message, then they know, this is what I have been needing. This is exactly what I've been missing in my life. Because God is real and He's alive. So when we encounter the real God, we see what we've been missing. And not in condemnation. It's not like, I'm just horrible. It's with hope. God doesn't come and just beat us down and leave us there. He reveals what's going on, what's wrong, so that He can give us His solution. He always gives a solution. He always gives a rescue.
Amen.
If we are going to carry the true message of God, then we have to turn people from their sin.
Right.
We can't carry the message the world carries of love that is, doesn't matter what you do, God loves you anyways. That God was angry with His prophets when they stopped telling His word. They were false prophets. They no longer belonged to Him as His prophet because they quit speaking that truth. All through the Bible, you must repent. You must repent. I have a list of verses. Only I'm not sure if I skipped over some of them. So we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings. Sorry. You know, we're going to go to verse 47. But over and over and over, when the prophets did give God's word to His people, it was to repent. If they bethink themselves in the land where they were carried captives, God's people again were captive. And they repent and they make supplication or they are seeking you in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We've committed wickedness. The people were crying out in repentance. And if they would turn to God further down in the chapter, then God will deliver them and restore them. But you know, as long as we go, well, you know, I know, like, I'm just out doing anything I want and sleeping with anybody I want. And, well, God might not really like it, but He loves me anyways, and it's okay. And, no, it's not okay. God loves you. But you know what? In order for Him to actually come and set you free from that, you have to recognize that it is captivity. You have to recognize that you're in the bondage, that you're in a bad place. Because how can He set you free if you don't even know you're captive? How can He forgive you of a sin if you won't even admit that it's sin? He didn't come to save people who already thought they were all right and doing just fine because you can't save somebody if they don't know they're lost.
Right.
Anybody who thinks they're just doing okay with God, He can't get to them to free them from their sin, from their bondages. So we've got, if not us, then who? Who is going to tell people that they are just running off a cliff to hell? If not us. If we won't carry that message, then who is going to?
Right.
Nobody will. Because nobody wants to offend anybody, and they don't want to hurt their feelings, and they, you know, we got to be politically correct and tiptoe around the millennials, you know? Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
No.
But Jesus didn't tiptoe around anybody's feelings.
No.
He called it straight out, and not because He hated them, and not because He was, you know, trying to hurt them, because He wanted to open their eyes and rescue them.
Right.
You know, how dare you sell in my Father's house? This is not okay. You're doing wrong. He told them like it was. John the Baptist called them open tombs, and he was talking to the religious people.
Right.
He didn't tiptoe around. But you know what? People got saved.
Amen.
People came to know God because they were given truth. If we don't give truth, then we might as well just die, because what's the point? You know what I mean? What's the point to live here just so we can, like, pat everybody and make them feel okay when we know inside of us that it's not okay?
Right.
We know that by just shutting up and, oh, God loves you, and that's all we want to say, we are just pushing them right on their way. Go ahead and go to hell, because I don't want to hurt your feelings right now, so just go ahead and burn forever. How is that How is that being nice to them? It's really not. We're hurting them by not speaking truth. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 30. This is God speaking. And he says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." The purpose of speaking that repentance message, to turn from their sin, is to give them life. So that your iniquity will not be your ruin. Because I don't want to see you suffer. Because I don't want to see the consequence of this road you're on. Because I want you to live and not die. Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. That's why he came. And you know, even Jesus had to wait and be really patient for 30 years before he got to give the message that he came to give. 30 years. You think during that first 30 years he didn't see sick people? And know that he knew that he knew that he was God and he could just, if I could just. But it wasn't his time.
Right.
And don't you think that he saw sin and he wanted to speak it? And I'm sure he spoke truth. I'm sure that he did speak truth because at 12 he was preaching in the temple. But the message of the gospel, that he came to seek and to save those that were lost, that he was going to heal and he was going to deliver the world, that revelation that he was the Messiah, he couldn't share that. 30 years. That's a really long pregnancy. But he carried it because he knew that it had to be given at the right time. That had to be birthed at the right time. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, 20. It says, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He can do way beyond. I mean, we just, that's what he's wanting to do. Way abundantly above, beyond anything we can ask or think. We're small-minded. We are very momentarily minded. We can't see the big picture. We think, even when we think we're looking at the big picture, it's like this teeny tiny frame in the big picture that God sees. He can do so much more, and he wants to. But he can't. He has limited himself to work through his people. And he can't do it if we won't carry his message.
Right.
He can't do it if we're so caught up in ourselves and I don't want anybody to be mad at me and I don't want that we abort his message. Well, it would make me look bad. Well, it would save someone's life. So, what's more important, my reputation or somebody not going to hell? Our perspective has to change, and we need to, it's serious. God is grieved at the amount of his messages that are just lost, that are rejected, and that are killed because we're so stuck in our own flesh that we can't let him get free. He is grieving at the people that are just rushing to hell and hurting and needing because his people won't listen and they won't give him time. We need to receive his message. We don't get to choose the message that we get. I don't get to pick that. I'm just going to, you know, it's not like you go to a computer and you hand pick which kind of baby you want. Well, you don't get to go to a computer and hand pick which kind of message you want. I'd like to be the one who just goes around healing everybody, Jesus. But you know what? You don't get to choose. He says, "You were born for this time, for this place, and this purpose. I choose because I'm God. This is your purpose. This is the reflection of me that you are." Mom's not going to go out and be an evangelist and all super hyper because that's not the part of God she is. And when she gets mad at herself because she's not vibrant and outgoing, God reminds her of that, right? You are peace. Go to your room and write a book. Go shut yourself away and have those visions with me one-on-one, because this is who I've created you to be. And Dad doesn't get to just be calm and chill and everybody likes him because he only gives a peaceful. No, he ticks people off all the time because he's in their face and he's going to tell it like it is. And, you know, they could have named him John the Baptist and it probably would have worked just fine, you know. You're a viper and you're on your way to hell. So I'm going to tell you like it is. That's right. But he also carries that message of love. It's not done in judgment. And neither was John the Baptist.
Right.
Even though that's, if you watch movies, a lot of times he's portrayed and he's just like vehemently preaching and he seems angry. And I don't think he was angry. I think half the time when we are having to deliver, or more than half the time, when we have to deliver messages like that, that we're fighting back tears because of the weight of that, of what God's heart is. When we actually have taken and nourished that message, and we've developed it, and we own it, and we love the message, and we see who we're supposed to deliver it to, and we love those people. And God, I don't want them to be going to hell. And God, I don't, do you see how hurt they are? I have to tell them this. I have to tell them this. And it's, you know, there's a verse that says God doesn't take any pleasure in death of the wicked. He doesn't. He does everything he can possibly do to save them. There's no pleasure in delivering a message of judgment, repentance, because we really want them to actually take that message and repent. We want them to turn around. We shouldn't take pleasure in pointing out what's wrong with them. The pleasure inside of us should be when they repent, when they grab that message and go, I don't want that. I want Jesus. So that's what God wants from us. And, you know, we're kind of running out of time here in the scheme of the world and time as we know it. We got to pick up the message that he's trying to give to us. We got to stop saying somebody else can tell him. Because if not us, then who?